That you know that. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. If you want to be turning back there this morning, once again we'll look at a few verses that would precede what we read this morning. We'll begin at about verse 12 here in just a few moments. The title of my lesson this morning is God's favorite word is yes. You know, if we think about the word yes, it's one of the most beautiful words in the human language, is it not? Whenever a young man summons enough courage to ask a young lady to be his bride, there's only one word that he wants to hear, and that's the word yes. When you apply for that job that you think will just be that dream job, there's only one word that you want to hear, and that's yes, you're hired. Or when you've been approved for that home mortgage, yes, you've been approved. You know, I can remember as a kid in school having my first crush in third grade on a girl named Carmen. And I remember writing a note to this girl, Carmen, saying something to the effect of, I like you, do you like me, check yes or no. Have you ever written a note like that, check yes or no? And I got that back, and she had checked yes. You know, what a wonderful note to receive back from the girl that little did I know at the time that really the only thing that girl had, the first three letters of her name were C-A-R. And lo and behold, her last name was actually Howard. So I ended up finding my true love many years later, Carrie Howard. So anyway, that worked out for the best. But Carmen sent that note back, and it said, yes. You remember this little toy you may have played with as a kid, or maybe you have kids. I dug this out of the boys, the bottom of their toy box. It's been a while. Jackson still gets in that box every now and then. But anyway, this magic eight ball. Anyone ever picked one of these up or looked at it? You remember it's the thing that you could ask a yes or no question, shake it up and get the answer? You know, there's never anything really spooky or supernatural about it. It's just a silly toy that we used as a kid to ask questions and get an answer. In fact, President Eisenhower kept one of these on his desk in the Oval Office as a joke. Many of the decisions that come through that office, he would have it there saying he was just going to check the magic eight ball. You know, I guess the producer of this toy, originally Toy Co., and later to become known as Mattel, knew that people wanted to hear the word yes. The original Magic 8 Ball had 20 different sides. And on those 20 sides, each had a different answer or a different phrase. But 10 of those 20 sides give a definite yes. 5 of the 20 gave a possibly or ask me again later type phrase. So I guess even the toy company knew that basically we like to hear yes because 75% of the time you were going to get either a definite yes or try again later. Only 25% of the time would you get a definite no. Let's try it this morning. Will this be a boring sermon? Signs point to yes. Well, let's try again. Will Joe stay awake during this message? Outlook not so good. Let's try one more. Football fans, could the Seattle Seahawks win the Super Bowl this year? It could happen. So, you know, that's still a possibility. Another football question. Will Kansas City Chiefs win their playoff game? The people at First Service asked me to do this again. Don't count on it. Well, we'll see what happens there. Finally, for Mark Vigay, will any of the Dallas Cowboys be arrested in the offseason? Definitely yes. So, you know, maybe there's a little bit, we know that's just a silly toy that we use. But we like that word yes, do we not? That's a word that we like to hear, one that we count on hearing from time to time. On the other hand, we really don't like to hear the word no. You remember as a child, you heard that word probably several times as you were growing up. No, you can't do that. You would ask and no. Well, why not? Well, because I said no. Whatever reason that the parent might have given. Bill Cosby says that the no's get louder and faster as you get closer, the parent gets closer to grab you. No, 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 no. You know, I said, don't do that. And we've heard that word. Sounds final, doesn't it? You know, sadly, I think many people conceive of God in the same negative terms. To them, God may just be a cosmic killjoy who watches from heaven above, just waiting to catch them in doing something wrong. They imagine Him shaking His finger at people saying, "No, no, don't do that. Stop that right now." But the God of the Bible isn't trying to spoil your fun by constantly telling you no. God loves you and He wants you to enjoy life to the fullest. And I believe that God's favorite word is yes. Before we read 2 Corinthians, we're going to begin there in just a moment at verse 12. But let me give you just a little background information to help you understand this passage and where Paul is coming from. There were some people in the church at Corinth who really didn't like Paul. Just didn't care for him much and what he had to say. And they claimed that he had broken promises. Apparently he had told them that he would try to visit them on a certain trip. And then when his plans changed, some of his critics used this change of plans to accuse him of deceit. And they even cast doubt on the message of Christ that he was sharing with them and that he had preached. So if these words in this reading sound like that Paul is trying to defend himself, he truly is, I believe, in the words that we're about to read. Let's look at our text beginning there at verse 12. It says, "Now this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, in the holiness and sincerity that are from God. We have done so not according to worldly wisdom, but according to God's grace. For we do not write you anything you cannot read or understand. And I hope that, as you have understood us in part, you will come to understand fully that you can boast of us just as we will boast of you in the day of the Lord Jesus. Because I was confident of this, I planned to visit you first so that you might benefit twice. I planned to visit you on my way to Macedonia and to come back to you from Macedonia and then to have you send me on my way to Judea. When I planned this, did I do it lightly? Or do I make my plans in a worldly manner so that in the same breath I say yes, yes, and no, no? But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in Him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." Reading through verse 20. I feel that like Paul, we should be extremely careful about making promises we might not be able to keep, so that people could say your yes is no and your no is yes. But that's an entire different lesson for a different time. Hopefully that is something that's important to you. As a Christian, it should be. That's something I strive to do. If I tell someone I'm going to do something, I try to do it. If I can't do it, I let them know why. Hopefully we all do that in our lives. Paul was doing that very thing. Something probably beyond his control. If you go back and look at the entire story and what's going on here, he was not going to be able to make this appointment that he had once wanted to keep. But this morning we're looking at the promises of God, a whole different level, a whole different playing field. How many promises do you think God has made? There's a little devotional book called A Promise a Day that contains 365 promises of God, one for each day of the year. But God has made many more promises than one a day. In fact, there was a book entitled All the Promises in the Bible, written by Herbert Lockyer. And in that particular book, he said that there are actually 7,457 promises contained within Scripture. And our text here tells us that Jesus is the yes to these promises. I want to look at just a few questions this morning. Five questions that I want to leave you with. As you go through your everyday life, ask yourselves these questions and look at the answer. I think you'll see in each instance, the answer is always yes. Number one, God, do you really love me? God's answer, of course, is yes. You know, one of the first songs that we remember from Sunday school, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. What is that? Red, yellow, black, and white. All are precious in His sight. No matter where you're at this morning, around this world, whatever language you understand this morning, you're hearing God say, yes, through Jesus Christ. We understand that word, yes. Those in France would hear that same in their native language. Those in Germany, those in China, those in Japan would hear that yes this morning. If you need proof of God's love, just look at the cross. The night before Jesus was crucified, He said these very words, "Greater love has no one than this, that He lay down His life for His friends." John chapter 15 and verse 13. God, do You love me? Yes. Number two, God, can You forgive all my mistakes? Each of us stands guilty as a sinner before a holy God. But instead of judging us on the basis of our sins, God, who is rich in mercy and full of grace, offers us a full and free pardon. Once again, going to Scripture, 1 John 1 and verse 7, the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from every sin. Don read just a few minutes ago there from Hebrews, talking about the superiority of Christ to the old law and how it's a better law, a better covenant. We can take full advantage of that as well. You know, we sing a song. It's Bruce's favorite song, number 345, "It Is Well With My Soul," a beautiful song. And I know many of you know the story of the author and sort of how that song came to be. The words were penned by Horatio G. Spafford, who was an American lawyer in the 1800s. His wife and daughters were on a ship that encountered a storm and sank in the Atlantic Ocean. He wanted to go there to be near the point of that tragedy in his family. And as he was sailing near the very spot that his family's life was taken, he wrote some of the verses. You think, or I believe though, of all the verses, verse 3 is probably my favorite verse. And we can almost picture Mr. Spafford as he gazed upon the deep ocean. He might have thought about the promise that God left us in Micah chapter 7. Hurl all your iniquities in the depths of the sea. He penned that third verse. "My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul." We can have that same forgiveness. Number three, God, do You have a plan for my life? You may be here this morning and thinking, I don't see any real direction in my life. I don't see God using me this morning in any real way to accomplish any real thing. God has a plan for each and every one. He describes it throughout Scripture. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Also in John chapter 14 and verse 2, a well-known passage, Jesus leaves His disciples saying, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you." And we know the rest of that passage. He said, "I'll come back and take you to be there with me." Your life may seem to be a mess this morning. Think about this very simple thing. Have you sat down and enjoyed a piece of cake in the past? Right out of the oven with a glass of milk. Maybe that icing dripping down through the cake. You know what I'm talking about. That you can picture that. You can almost taste that. Think about that for just a moment. Would you take a cup of flour, put it up to your mouth and just suck it down? You wouldn't do that. Would you take that egg and just crack it open? Let it slide on down. Would you take that cup of sugar or a cup of butter, one at a time, and just try to get those ingredients down? How appetizing would that be? Wouldn't be appetizing at all, would it? But all those ingredients together work together to make up something that tastes pretty good. God's doing that with our life. We don't always see that, but each and every day, He has a plan for us. Question number four, God, what do You want me to say to You? If you listened to any news last night or even this morning, you heard about the shooting in Arizona. 6 lives that were taken. We all too often hear such stories, such tragedies. Such things that seemingly very unnecessary. You may remember the shooting at Virginia Tech sometime back and the lives that were taken there. And then I think when we think of these particular incidences, most of us that have been around long enough to remember that, back to the late 90s, would remember the Columbine High School shooting on April 20th, 1999. A shooting in which 14 students and one teacher died. You may recall the story of one student, the 17-year-old Cassie Bernal, who just a couple of years previous to that had given her life to God, become a Christian. You may remember as some of her friends told the story of that day. Some of those that survived, some of those who were able to tell the story, said that the gunman, with gun pointed at her, said, "Do you believe in God?" What would the answer, what would an easy answer maybe have been? Her answer was yes. Probably the last word that she uttered, the word yes. You know, a few while later, her mother, Misty Bernal, wrote a best-selling book entitled She Said Yes. Just think about how God used people in the Bible who said yes to Him. Noah said yes to building a boat. Abraham said yes to God's call to leave Ur and head west without a destination in mind. Moses said yes at the burning bush to a God who is the great I Am. The angel Gabriel came to Mary and told her that she had been chosen by God to give birth to the Son of God. She humbly said, "Yes, Lord, it be as you have said." That word yes is what God likes to hear. Is He hearing that in your life this morning? You can answer that question. And you should. That's a personal question. But we might ask one final question this morning. Jesus, are you coming back? We don't have to go far in Scripture to find the answer to that question. That's why we're here this morning. That's why we gather together this morning. On toward the end of Scripture, we see on the very last page of your Bible, Revelation chapter 22, the next to last verse, Jesus says, "Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." What's your answer this morning? Your answer this morning will depend on the answer you hear in that final day. When we stand before God, Jesus is our advocate. We'll either hear yes or no. We'll hear that sweet word, or that word that's hard to take. Are you ready? Have you made preparation? Has your answer this morning been yes? Many in the audience this morning have said yes. You've put on Christ through baptism. You've taken that first step and are striving to live that faithful life. Continue in that. But you may be here this morning and haven't yet done so. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, won't you come as we stand?